Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. These words begin this famous Hall of Faith chapter about the great heroes of faith from the Old Testament. 22 times, Hebrews 11 says, these great people did great things, quote, by faith, by faith. The first one is Abel, that son of Adam and Eve, the first of 18 heroes of faith named in Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man. And by faith, he still speaks. So three times, the first one says he did things by faith. Now, all but two of these 18 great heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 were men. Men like Abel and Noah and Enoch and Abraham and Moses. But look in verse 11. It says, by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father. She's named kind of along with Abraham, but she's there. And verse 31, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Back from the story of the fall of Jericho. Women get mentioned again in verse 35 where it says, some women received back their dead from death. Interesting to note that these women are included with the word the ancients. Remember that word back up there in verse 2? The word ancients is this Greek word, presbyteros, which means the elders. Now, the writer's not talking about elders like we think of in a church in the 21st century. But it's interesting that they're part of the elders who were commended for their faith. I'm starting this message here to give you a sense of proportion. Today's a lot about proportion. And in this message, you're going to see that this proportion illustrates the general relationship between men and women in the Old Testament. This is not a great Palm Sunday message, but here it is. The proportion is telling us, even in this one example, Old Testament history was dominated by men. No doubt this was an expression and continuation of the curses and the consequences of the fall of man back in Genesis. If you recall, Adam and Eve sinned, and there were the curses and consequences which changed everything. And part of that was what God said to the woman, that he will rule over you in Genesis 3. And that gets expressed many times over throughout the 39 books of the Old Testament. 26 of those books are actually named for men. How about that? Only two are named for women, the books of Ruth and Esther. All the priests and Levites of the Old Testament were all men, the whole bunch of them, every single one. All the elders of Israel, for all those, 1,400 years of history, were all men. All 43 of the kings of Israel and Judah were all men. 12 of the 13 judges of Israel were men. Are you getting the point now? It's really dominated by a bunch of men. There are about 33 prophets named in the Old Testament that I could count. There are only three or four prophetesses, a lady prophet, named in the Old Testament. Here's another way of looking at it. The most mentioned people of the Old Testament. Number one, most mentioned person in the Old Testament. Anybody want to guess who he was? King David. Almost 1,100 times he's mentioned. Second most named man of the Old Testament, Moses. Over 800 times. The most named woman in the Old Testament. Who is what? In the Old Testament, the most named woman was who? Wrong. Rachel. 47 times. So number one guy, 1,100 times. Number one lady, 47 times. Sarah was number two. Only 40 times she gets named in the Old Testament. I'm trying to hurry, so pray for me, okay? There are some notable exceptions to all of this. There were these outstanding women back there in the Old Testament, and outstanding they really had to be. Turn to the book of Judges, chapter 4. Perhaps the most outstanding exception to all this was this lady here in the book of Judges. Judges, a very bad time in Old Testament history. They call it the Dark Ages of the Old Testament. They were ruled and led by these people called judges, like Gideon and Samson and the rest, and one woman. Judges 4, verse 4. Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidot. I want to meet him. I'd like to know what he was like. I think he must have been a great person, honestly. Anyway, she was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites came to her to have their disputes decided. She led Israel for 40 years. She was a prophetess. She was the leader or judge of Israel. The only other person ever called both a prophet and a judge was Samuel. And if you know about him, he was truly great. So she's in very good company being both a prophet and a judge. What happens is their enemies come against them. Israel had a general whose name was Barak, which name means lightning. And lightning came to talk to her in verse 8. He said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." He trusted in her power as a leader. He wanted her out there in the battlefield with him. "Very well," Deborah said, "I will go with you. But because of the way you are going about this, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman." This statement probably just indicates Barak was a little bit weak as a leader. He wasn't like his name. He wasn't very much like lightning at all. It doesn't mean that Deborah was reluctant to lead. She said, "Okay, I'll go. I'm a leader. I'll go with you. But you won't get the credit." And neither did she, by the way. Another lady named Jael got the credit. And Sisera died of a splitting headache. Read the story. You'll see what I meant. They sang a song after the great victory. Deborah sang a song in chapter 5, verse 7. She said, "Village life in Israel ceased until I, Deborah, arose." Arose, a mother in Israel. Beautiful expression. A mother in Israel. When I grew up, I used to hear that once in a while. This lady, she's like a mother in Israel. It's a compliment. Only one person ever called that. She said it about herself. It was Deborah. She was truly a remarkable leader and woman of God. Another great story we love is the story of Ruth. A whole different story. An exceptional lady. Over there in Ruth 3:11, I think it was Boaz, her bridegroom, her fiancé, who said this to her in Ruth 3:11, "Now, my daughter, don't be afraid. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character." Ruth's the only one ever called this wonderful thing a woman of noble character. She was faithful. She was brave. She was a Moabite from a cursed Gentile nation. She was a widow, but she followed God, the God of Israel. She wanted to be part of the people of Israel, and it happened to her. God rewarded her in her faith by her marriage to handsome, rich Boaz and named a Bible book after her and made her the ancestor of King David and even of Jesus Christ himself. Wow, she was a great, exceptional Old Testament lady. Then the story of Esther. Over there in Esther chapter 4, her cousin Mordecai says to her, "If you keep silent, at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from some other place. But who knows but that you have come into royal position such a time as this." Now, Esther, her story was, she was this beautiful Jewish girl in captivity in Persia. They wanted to find a replacement wife for the king of Persia. How about that? And they had kind of a beauty contest, and Esther won. No one knew she was a Jew. And then there was this evil guy named Haman who wanted to kill the Jews, and Esther was now in a place of influence before the king of Persia to save her people. And she did it, but it risked her own life. And she said, "I'll go to the king, even though it's against the law, and if I perish, I perish." So she risked her life and saved Judah and the whole line of Jesus Christ himself. There are other great, exceptional Old Testament women. One of them was named Miriam. She was a sister of Moses and Aaron back in the Exodus. She was also a prophetess, the Bible says, and a worship leader. After they crossed the Red Sea on dry land, Miriam took a tambourine, the Bible says, and began to worship God. "I will sing unto the Lord. He had triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider thrown into the sea." That was Miriam. And write this one down. The prophet Micah 6:4, God said, "I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam." Those three siblings led Israel in the Exodus. Another great lady from the Old Testament, a lady named Abigail. Abigail was named to a guy named Nabal, and his name means fool, and he was. And he was a fool to David, and David was about to kill him, But this wise woman Abigail said, "Don't kill my husband. He's just like his name. He's a fool. Leave him alone." Somehow God took care of the fool some other way, and David said, "I like you. You're a smart lady. You helped me." And she became a wife of King David. How about that? Another gal's name was Huldah, H-U-L-D-A-H. She was also a prophetess over in 2 Chronicles. These women just plain had to be outstanding. In their world, for them to lead or to be a prophetess or to be used by God means they must have been truly exceptional people in that male-dominant Old Testament world. When you see these ladies in heaven, give them a salute. They deserve it because of how God used them.